All right, everyone, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Dalet. So we left off last three lines on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Ve'ele Nitchu. So we'll say again, remember we left off with the discussion yesterday about Arava. And remember again, what we've established, the Mishnah said, is that Arava is Docha Shabbos on day 7 of the Arava, but is not Docha Shabbos on any of the other days. So the Gemara says, Ve'ele Nitchu. So why don't even presently today, Rashi says, Ve'ele Litchi, Kevin de Minatila Hava, why don't you go ahead and say that the seventh day of the Arava should also be Docha Shabbos Zecher LaMikdash? To which the Gemara says, Kevan Da'ara Lo Dachinon Inhu Nami Lo Dachu. So the Gemara says, oh, since we being alongside the people of Bavel, the people of the Gola, since we in the diaspora will not go ahead and set aside Shabbos for the sake of the Arava, and Rashi points out, because we are not proficient enough in the calendar to know exactly which day is truly the seventh day. Therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, they will not do it either. So the Gemara says, "I but one second. We established yesterday by Lulav that inside of Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, they do set aside the first day of Yom Tov. Most say this is even post Beis Hamikdash. They do set aside, they do take the lulav on the first day of Yom Tov when it falls out on Shabbos, since they are proficient in the calendar, even though we do not do that in Chutz La'aretz, top of Mem Dalet. Amri, Lidido Nami Lo Dachi. So he said, no, according to our approach now, even in Eretz Yisrael, they do not set aside the Shabbos when the first day of Yom Tov falls out on. So we'll say, according to Bless You, according to this version, what's happening over here now is that according to this approach, Lemaisa, even post Beis Hamikdash, we are not taking the lulav on first day that falls out on Shabbos, even in Eretz Yisrael. So even in Eretz Yisrael, where supposedly, again, they are very proficient in the calendar, still when the Beis Hamikdash is not in existence, no one is taking the lulav on the first day of Yom Tov. Aye, but if that's the case, Ve'ela Kashya Hani Tarti, but one second, if that's the case, then we have a problem reconciling the two last Mishnayos. What did the two last Mishnayos say? One Mishnah said, remember again, this was yesterday's Mishnah, the beginning of this parak that said, everyone brings their lulav to the Harabayis. To the Harabayis. Remember again, so in yesterday's Mishnah, in the Gemara was indicating that halacha lemaisa, that everybody was bringing their lulav to the Harabayis, the Beis Hamikdash, prior, this was Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, which was Erev, the first day of Yom Tov. V'tanya idach, and yet the two Mishnayos ago we learned, Tanya idach lebeis hakneses. Two Mishnayos ago we learned about the people bringing their lulav to the shul prior to Shabbos. Now the way we went ahead and we answered that, so we'll say the question is, why is one Mishnah talking about bringing it to the Beis Hamikdash? Why is one Mishnah talking about bringing it to shul? So the way we answered it yesterday, mitartzinon kan bizman shabeis hamikdash kayim, kan bizman she'in beis hamikdash kayim. The way we answered yesterday, Rabbi Say, was how that the Mishnah talks about the Beis Hamikdash is when the Beis Hamikdash is in existence, and the Mishnah talks about bringing it to the shul is when after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, but where? In Eretz Yisrael. Now what you're telling me is that even in Eretz Yisrael, post destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, they're not taking the lulav on the first day that falls on Shabbos. If that's the case, then how do we reconcile the two Mishnayos? To which the Gemara says, lo edi v'edi b'shman sheveis hamikdash kayim. No, both of the Mishnayos are talking about when the Beis Hamikdash is in existence. Below kash, there's no contradiction. Kan b'mikdash, kan b'gvulin. Oh, we'll say very interesting. One Mishnah is talking about the Mikdash. That's yesterday's Mishnah, the first Mishnah of this parak. That Lamayin the Beis Hamikdash is in existence. Everyone is bringing their lulav, to the Beis Hamikdash on Erev Shabbos. That's in Yerushalayim. Kan Bigvulin. Rabbi say, look at Rashi. Bigvulin. Molichan the Beis Hakneses. Ukulhu bizman habayis. Dahavakulhu be'aretz. Usmuchin liyos beisin. Viyodim emas huk vachodesh. Aval ato mishachara beis hamikdash ein lulav docha Shabbos afil lebnei Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say the previous mission was also talking about when the Beis Hamikdash stood and what it was talking about people who were too far away to make it to the Beis Hamikdash for Sukkis. So what did they do? They also took the lulav on the first day of Yom Tov that fell out on Shabbos. And the Mishnah is telling me that what they would have to bring it to shul on Erev Shabbos. So we'll say based on where the Gemara is holding right now, the following occurred when the Beis Hamikdash stands. everyone takes lulav on the first day, even when it falls on Shabbos. That is true in the Beis HaMikdash. It is true in shuls, big vulin, outlying communities. And the process is the same. In both circumstances, you are going to bring your lulav either to the Beis HaMikdash or to shul prior to Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then no one is taking lulav on the first day of Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, even in Eretz Yisrael, where they were proficient about the calendar and knew with absolute certainty which day was the first day of Yom Tov. That's what the Gemara is holding right now, which Rabosa is halacha lemaisa. So to take, for example, when we don't yet have our Beis HaMikdash, no one is taking lulav on the first day of Yom Tov, even in Eretz Yisrael.
We're over on Elias already.
No, sometimes a person has to take any circumstances. I was sick. I couldn't come. Amalei Abaye. We down the kaf sechos. Take it easy on the Jews.
This is Gemara.
Yeah, it's true. Amalei Abaye. So Amalei Abaye the Rava. Abaye said to Rava the following: Maishna lulav da avdina leishiva zechel mikdash, or maishna arava da lo avdina leishiva zechel mikdash. So Abaye asked Rava. Rava says, interesting. The Mishnah said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we take the lulav 7 days Zeichel HaMikdash. So remember, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, it was only in the Beis HaMikdash itself that you took the lulav for 7 days. Outside, they took it for 1 day. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says we take lulav all 7 days Zeichel HaMikdash. So as Abaye asks Rava, why is it that for the lulav we do Zeichel HaMikdash 7 days, but yet for Arava we do not? We do not look at Rashi. Delo avdinon leshiva, aval yom echad miha avdinon. So what do we do? We go ahead and we take the Arava 1 day. We do this on Hoshana Rabbah. Why is it that we only do a Zeichel LaMikdash for the Arava 1 day versus Lulav we do a Zeichel LaMikdash 7 days? Amarle, hoil va'adam yotze yedei chavaso ba'arava sheva lulav. Oh, so it's very interesting. So Rava responds, I'll tell you why. In fact, we do take the Arava every day. When do we take the Arava every day? We take it as part of the Dalet Minim, right? So meaning I'm taking Aravas every single day. I'm taking it as part of the Dalet Minim. So the Gemara says, Amar le'ahu mishum lulav hudeka avid lei. So Abaye responds to Rava, come on, Rava, that's not true. You're not picking up those Aravas for the sake of the mitzvah of Arava, but rather, why are you picking it up? For the sake of the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. And the truth is, they're not the same. The chitema, I maybe you'll say, maybe you'll say the following. Maybe what it means is like this: I pick up the lulav and esrog without das mini aravos the first time to be yotzi the mitzvah of dalet minim. Then what? Then I put it down and then I pick it up again. And then now what happens? And then what happens? I put it down. And I pick it up again for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Arava. Maybe that's what it's saying. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second. V'hamaisim b'chol yom d'lo ka'avdinan hachi. There's only one problem with that answer, I will say, which is what? No one does that. No one does that. Meaning, I'm sorry? That's day seven. Remember, again, they're asking, why are we doing a zirka to the Arava every single day?
Don't we do a Hoshana?
No, yeah, but what about the Aravas?
Okay, so I was just wondering if the Aravas in the
Minim, so that's,
I thought he's suggesting that in Hallel it's for the sake of the Arava Minim, and then
no, he's not. No, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about over just the act of picking it up right now. What you're doing with it, we don't. Hoshanas, Hallel, that doesn't matter right now. What the Emerge is simply suggesting is maybe again the Havamina was maybe I'm putting it down, picking it up, lulav. Putting it back down, picking it back up, Arava. To which the Gemara essentially answers, but we don't do that. Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava, here's the reason. Lulav da'oraisa avdinan shiva zechel mikdash. Arava derabana lo avdinan leiz shiva zechel mikdash. Very simple. Here's a distinction. Lulav, which is da'oraisa, we take it 7 days zechel mikdash. Arava, which is derabanan, we only take it 1 day. I will say, having your answer, 1 second. Arava derabanan, that's not what we said. The man, so whose opinion is it that Arava is Dirabanan? Ilema la Abba Shaul, if you want to say according to Abba Shaul, Ha Omar Arve Nachal Ksiv Shtaim. I will say, remember again, according to Abba Shaul says that the phrase Arve Nachal is plural. And what does the plurality of this phrase mean? Two Arve Nachals, two Aravas. Achas l'ulav, achas l'mikdash. It teaches you that one set of aravos is used for the lulav, and one set of aravos is used for the mikdash, meaning the mitzvah of arava. So what's according to Abishol, then what? So arava is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Either Rabbanon, and if you want to say it's according to the Rabbanon, Hilchasa Gemirila, the Rabbanon hold it at Halacha Lamosha Misinai. Dom Rab Asi, Am Rab Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunya, Ish Bikas, Beis Charson. Esther Netios, Arava Veniso Chamai, Malacha Lamosha Misinai. Because we'll say, we learned that these three halachos, Esther Netios, we'll say, are the case of the 10 saplings within a base Sa'ah. A base Sa'ah is about 2,500 square amos. So when we spoke about this a couple, probably last week, where again the idea is that halacha l'maisa before Shemitah, you have to stop plowing land 30 days before Shemitah. You're allowed to plow these Esther Netios, this base Sa'ah with 10 saplings, because if you stop plowing it 30 days before Shemitah, the saplings will die. So essentially you have a dispensation, you could go in and you could plow it all the way up until the actual beginning of the Shemitah year. Arava, taking of the Arava in the base HaMikdash, and Nisachalayim is the water libation. All of these things, which was the pouring of the water on his back, all of these things are halacha lemoshe misinai. So Rabbi will say, you see from here, according to the Rabbanon. So according to Abishol, Arava is the Doraisa. When we say Doraisa, it means it's written explicitly in the Torah. According to the Rabbanon, it's a halacha lemoshe misinai. But no one is saying that it's a Rabbanon. Ella amarav zvid mishmei Rabbanon. Rather, so no, it's not. So remember, I'll say, the Gemara was suggesting that the reason we do lulav zechel mikdash for 7 days and Arava only 1 day is because lulav is d'oraisa, Arava is d'rabbanon. Now we have effectively rejected that idea because we've now established that lulav is either a halacha l'moshe misinai or a d'rabbanon, or a d'oraisa. So therefore we're back to square one. Why do we do zechel mikdash for lulav 7 days and 1 day by Arava? Elo Amarav Zavid Mishmei Derava Lulav the Isle Ikramina Torah Bigvulin Avdinon Le Shiva Zechel Mikdash. Arava the Lesle Ikramina Torah Bigvulin Lo Avdinon Shiva Zechel Mikdash. Oh, here's a difference as Rav Zavid, because Lulav has a what we call an Ikramina Torah Bigvulin. We'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Ikr. Yom echad miha yesh l'shoresh, aval arava ein lo shum shoresh min haTorah bigvulin. So Rabbi say lulav at least has an ikar. What's the right word?
Anchor.
An anchor. A source. A concept. There is a conceptual underpinning of lulav in gvulin outside of the base of Mikdash. Now what does that mean? Because remember, the first day where lulav is d'oraisa, it's d'oraisa everywhere. It's d'oraisa everywhere, including outside the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai makes a practice zecher l'mikdash, the concept of lulav is not foreign or alien to the gvulin. Therefore, the zecher l'mikdash becomes all 7 days. They both say arava was not done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Arava was a service that was only done in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Therefore, again, now the Beis HaMikdash is unfortunately not yet returned to us. We need a Zecher. You're not going to make a Zecher for 7 days. Why? Because this practice was never even part of outside of the Beis HaMikdash experience. The most we're going to do is what? Make a one-day remembrance for Arava. To which the Gemara says, Amar Mishlakish, Kohanim, so both sides, that's the answer, by the way. At the end of the day, this is the answer. This is the answer that the Rambam codifies, that halacha l'maisa, because lulav was part of outside of Beis HaMikdash religious experience from the beginning, so the zecher is a simple amplification of an already present practice. So when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, ultimately again, we took it for 1 day in the Gvulin. Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing. We're replicating that, what was done at the Mikdash, which is building on what we were already doing. We add on another 6 days. Arava was never done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So to go from 0 to 60, to go from non-event or a non-practice to a seven-day practice is too much. Therefore, what do? We just simply build in a one-day zecher, a one-day remembrance. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says the following. Kohanim ba'ali mumin nechnasin bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach kadei lotes ba'arava. It was very interesting. So Kohanim who are ba'ali mumin, blemished Kohanim, could walk into the area between the ulam. The ulam is the antechamber And there's Yechel. Also, again, remember, should have kept our sheets from Shkalim. Okay, you could just imagine it. Right, so the Ulam is the large entranceway into the Heichal, into the Beis Hamikdash proper. The Mizbeach was lined up right in front of the entranceway to the Ulam. So now what the Mishnah, what the Brice is saying over here is that what Reish Lakish is saying is, even Kohanim who are blemished were permitted to enter into the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is Kohanim Bali Mumin. Avhim dochakim v'nichnasin lahakif ragleim v'arava biyadam. Ve'ein omrim lahakif shloi kansu, excuse me, ve'i asher lahakif shloi kansu v'ina ulam l'zbeach. V'chalashana asur mekarni sham, kidabirin v'msech eskin l'perakushon. I've also listened to this. Under normal circumstances, only Kohanim who are fit for avoda are permitted to enter into the space between the Mizbeach and the entranceway of the Heichal, the entranceway of what we call the Beis HaMikdash proper, which again, remember, the Heichal was the structure that housed the menorah, the shulchan, the incense altar, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So yet, with the Gemara, Reish Lakish is saying over here, for the purpose of Hoshanah, for the purpose of walking around with the Aravos, even Kohani Ba'ali Mumin were permitted to go ahead and circle the Mizbeach, which by definition necessitated what? Walking in the area between the Mizbeach and the entranceway to the Ulam. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, mi Amra. Rabbi Yochanan said, tell me, who said this? So the Gemara says, mi Amra, ha ihu Amra. What do you mean, who said this? Rabbi Yochanan, you said it. The Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishra Rabbi Nechonya, Ish Bikas, Beis Charsan, Eser Netios, Arava, V'nisu Chamay, Malach L'moshe Misinai. Rather, Rabbi will say, what? The Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion who says that the concept of Arava, of circling the Mizbeach with the Arava, is in fact a Halacha L'moshe Misinai. To which the Gemara says, no. What Rabbi Yochanan meant was the following. Elami Amra, B'netila, Dilma Bezikifa. Rabbi will say, here's what's interesting. Reish Lakish's statement, by definition, presupposes that what is the process with the Arava? That they are circling the Mizbeach. They're circling. They're taking it in their hands, and they're circling. So Rabbi Yochanan was asking is, who says that the mitzvah of Arava was done with circling the Mizbeach with the Arava in hand? Perhaps what? Perhaps the way it was done was what Rabbi was saying, that they just simply leaned it up against the Mizbeach, and that's it. Who said they ever had to take it in hand? So the Gemara says, Dilma b'zekifa, mi amra b'ba'ali mumin, Dilma b'tmimin. Furthermore, who said that Ba'ali mumin could take part in this? Maybe only unblemished Kohanim could take part in this avodah. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So we'll say we have a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Chad Amar Arava Yisod Neviim, v'Chad Amar Arava Minhag Neviim. We'll say very interesting machlokas. One opinion says that Arava is a Yisod Neviim. And we'll say Yisod Neviim literally means, like, look at Rashi, Yisod Neviim. Takanas Neviim Achronim Chagai Zecharia Umalachi Shahayu Mimatkoni Takanos Yisrael Ba'anshe Knesset Sagidola. So one opinion says that the concept of Arava was what we call a Yisrael, a Takana. It was a Takana from the latter Neviim, from the Anshe Knesset Sagidola. And the other opinion says, no, it's a what? A Minag Neviim. Rashi says, Minag Hinhigo Asaham Velo Tiknu Lahem. I will say, so again, other opinion says, no, it's not a Takana, it's a Minag. Now, what's the difference? What's not community between a takana, something that's instituted, and a minog? So Rashi says, "V'nafkamina de'lo baya bracha de'leka le'meimar v'tzivanu da'filu b'chlal lo sasur lesa." We'll say, because here's the difference. If it's a yisod, which means it's a rabbinic enactment, then what? You can say a bracha v'asher ki d'sham v'sasa v'tzivanu. If it's just a minog, you can't say a bracha of v'tzivanu, to which the Gemara says, it would appear that Rabbi Yochanan is one who holds that Arava is a rabbinic enactment, a takana. Arava yisod neviim. Okay, because Rabbi Yochanan says that Arava is a yisod neviim. Pretty clear. Tistayin. The Gemara says, okay, can't really argue on that one. So we'll say, if Rabbi Yochanan is one who holds that Arava is a Yisod Neviim, which then by definition means that what? That Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is one who holds that it's a Minog Neviim. But did Rabbi Yochanan actually say that Arava is a Yisod Neviim? Now, we'll say, look at Rashi, what the Gemara is asking. I'm sorry, we have to look at Rashi, we could just read the Gemara. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnur ben Chunin, Ishpik, Asbeis Charsan, Esrinatius, Arava, V'nisuch, Hamayim, Alach, Hamosh, Misinai. Now, we'll say, so how can you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Arava is a Yisod Neviim, is a rabbinic enactment? After all, Rabbi Yochanan is on record as saying what? That Arava is in fact a halacha la Moshe Mitzrayim. So what happened? This is Rabbi Zera talking to Rabbi Yavo. Ishtomim kisha'a chada. So Rabbi Yavo was silent for a moment. He had to think about this. Finally, he responded, Va'amar shachachum v'chazru v'yustum. It must have been that over time, this practice, this halacha la Moshe Mitzrayim was forgotten. And what happened? The Anshei Knesset HaGedola came along and reinstituted it. Look at Rashi. Shachachum Begalus Babel. So during Babylonian diaspora, they forgot about it. Shachu es haTorah v'haMitzvos b'Mikdash v'zu nishkacha legamrei. So we'll say again, part of it was forgotten in Galus. And what happened? V'chazru Nevi'im Achronim v'yistum Apia Dibor. So we'll say the way Rabbi Avo seems to reconcile this is the following. Really, these are halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. But what happens? We'll say it was forgotten. When was it forgotten? Galus. As a result of Galus, it was forgotten. Come back and reinstitute it. That's why Rabbi Yochanan is calling it a Yisod Nevi'im. Even though what? In reality, it's a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Moshe says, one second. But did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Meaning, Rabbi say, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that Lamaisit was forgotten? V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan, dilchon amri, dilhon hi. Literally translated, because we have Rabbi Yochanan on record as saying, that which I thought was yours is really theirs. And I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, the Susu is outside because of time. Yeah. So Rashi says over here the following, that Rabbi Yochanan once was talking to the Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, and he said, I always thought that the Torah community in Eretz Yisrael was greater. Why? Because you were never displaced. You were never exiled. You stayed there the entire time. So I always thought, dilchon. I always thought the Torah was yours. But I've come to appreciate that what? Dilhon hi. In reality, the Torah is really the property of the Jews of Babel. What Rabbi Yochanan was saying was what? Was that Babel became a greater Torah center than Eretz Yisrael. Now this doesn't stem with what we just said before, because what did we just say before? That halacha got forgotten in Babel. But clearly that's not the case with Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan seems to hold that actually Torah was stronger in Babel. Again, I will say, the truth is, historically we know, it actually fits very well with the Megillah as well. We know that again, when Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jews, the first people to be exiled were who? Was political and Torah leadership. So the Torah elite were the first to really plant their feet on the soil of Babel. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, you wanted to say before that to reconcile the contradiction of Yochanan's statements, that in reality what happens is, it's a halacha l'Moshe, we've seen that Arava, but then they forgot it in Babel, because they forgot a lot of Torah in Babel, and the Nevi'im reinstituted, that's why they called it a Yisod Nevi'im. Now the Gemara is saying, it's highly unlikely, given the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Babel is stronger in Torah than Eretz Yisrael, that there was so much Torah forgotten in Babel. So Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan amud beis, kan b'mikdash, kan b'gvulu. Oh, I will say, Sinai going back. So remember, we still have to try to figure out how to reconcile. So now, the proposed answer was just scratched. Now the Gemara is saying, we still have to figure out, why is it that in one place Rabbi Yochanan says that Arava is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, and another place he says it's Yisod Nevi'im? To which the Gemara answers, not a contradiction. Kan b'mikdash. When do we say that Arava is a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim? I will say, the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim governs the practice in the Beis HaMikdash. But kan b'gvulin, the Yisod Nevi'im was what? That we should even do Arava outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi's b'gvulin Yisod Nevi'im. So there are two different halachas. Halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim says you have to do it in the Beis HaMikdash. The Yisod Nevi'im says that you should do it even b'gvulin. Amar Rabbi Ami. Arava tzricha shir. The Einoni tell us el b'fnei atzma. So we'll say, so number one, Rabbi Ami says that an Arava needs a shir. Meaning you can't just use any Arava. The Arava must conform to a particular shir, to a particular size. Furthermore, the Einoni tell us el b'fnei atzma. Furthermore, again, Arava can only be taken by itself. Rabbi Ami, what that means is, as opposed to what? As opposed to taking it as part of the lulav. And a person cannot be yotze his obligation with arava, with the arava in the lulav. Okay. So first of all, take a look at Rashi. I'm explaining that wrong, actually. That the third part is that it can't be taken with the lulav. What does it mean? It can only be taken by itself. Look at Rashi. Ein ani talis ela b'fnei atzma. Ein davar acher ne'egad ima demucha shehi mitzvah. Rabosa, you don't bind anything else together with the Aravos when taking the Arava to show that it's not good, the Arava, that's the mitzvah.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Kivan de Amar Mar Inonli tell us Ela Bifne Atzma, Pshita de In Adam Yoti Ba Arava Shabalulav.
So now the Gemara questions the need for the third statement. Remember, there are three statements. Arava needs a shear. Arava can only be taken by itself. And you cannot discharge your obligation of the Arava with the Arava that's part of the lulav.
So the Gemara now simply asks, I don't understand. Once you already told me that the Arava can't be taken with anything else, that by definition means what?
What?
That the Arava, that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Arava with what Rabbi say? With the Arava that's part of the lulav. So why the need to make the third statement?
Now the Tema, what would you have thought? Hani mili heichot delo agbe v'hadr agbe.
I might have thought, when do we say that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Arava with the lulav? That's only what Rabbi say. That's only if you don't pick it up, put it down, and pick it back up. But I would have thought of al agbe b'hadr agbe emalo. I might have thought Rabbi say that what? That lemaisa, when do we say that you can't be out in the mitzvah arava with your lulav? That's when you pick up lulav for the sake of lulav. You can't discharge two mitzvahs simultaneously. You can't fulfill the mitzvah of dalad minim and the mitzvah arava at once. But I might have thought that if I picked up my lulav for the sake of dalad minim, and then when I finish with that mitzvah, what do I do? I put it back down. And then I pick it up a second time again. For this time, for the sake of arava, I might have thought that I could be yotze. Therefore, the Gemara says, kamash malon, that's not the case. Kamash malon, that even if you picked up the lulav with the hadas and the arava, so the explicit sake of the mitzvah of arava, you are still not yotze. Why? Because again, arava must be taken by itself. Adam yotzei dechavaso ba'arava shabalulav. So we'll say about Rav Chisda, the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, that a person can in fact discharge his obligation for arava with by taking the arava in the lulav. Okay, so machlokes. V'kama shira. And what is the shir of arava? What is the shir of arava? Amar Rav Nachman, gimel badi alin lachin. So literally we'll say what it sounds like is, Gimel Badi means three twigs. Alin Lachin means moist leaves. So three twigs with moist leaves. Rav Shesha says, Afilu Allah Echad Ubad Echad. So we'll say, now again, what's interesting about this is the straight translation of this sounds like Rav Shesha says, that even one leaf, one twig with one leaf. Then we'll say, here's what's interesting about this. The Gemara says, Allah Echad Ubad Echad Sakad Echad. And I will say, for some reason, the Gemara's first approach is that we're actually going to take a very literal reading of this statement, or Rav Shesha's statement, of one twig and one leaf. Not a leaf on the twig, but literally a twig in white, and a leaf. Look at Rashi. Allah echad ubad echad sagadaitcha. Allah mashma below bad, because it sounds like the leaf is without a twig. Ubad below Allah. And the twig is without leaves. So we'll say, Gemara says, is that true that Rav Shesha, remember, we have Rav Nachman telling me it needs to be three twigs with moist leaves. Rav Shesha seems to be saying even one leaf and one twig. So Gemara says, could that be? Ela'ima afilu ala echad bibad echad. Rather, no. What Rav Shesha was actually saying was what Rav say, that even if you have one leaf, one twig, that only has one leaf on it, that is enough to fulfill the mitzvah of Arava. Okay. Amar Ivo. So Ivo said the following. Hava ka'imna kamid Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. I was once standing before Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, and what happens? Va'aisi ha'hu gavra Arava kame. And a man brought an Arava before Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. And what happens? And what happened? Shakil, so Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok took the Arava, chavit v'lo beirach. And what happened? And he took the Arava, he shook it, Rashi says, chavit, lashon ninua, he shook the Arava in all different directions, and interestingly enough, he didn't make a bracha. He didn't make a bracha on the shaking of the Arava. Why? Kasavar minag nevi'imi. Because obviously Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok holds that what Rabbi say, the taking of the Arava is what? Is a minag nevi'im. It's just a minog instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and if that's the case, as we saw before, you don't make a bracha on a minog. Rashi says, minog neviim hi, bigvulin. Now, also remember, this is taking place outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? Outside of the Lo Yisod neviim, Hilchach in a tzricha bracha. So we'll say, Rabbi Lutmer, I'll say, it's very interesting. I've mentioned this a number of times. In the evolution of halacha, the way that halacha was initially learned and understood was by observation. So Talmidim would look at their Rebbe, and they would see what is the Rebbe doing, and what the Rebbe was doing suddenly became the norm. This is lost on us a little bit today, only because we have much greater access to actual information. We don't have to rely just to what people do, but there's a certain beauty in this of a Talmud learning just from looking at his Rebbe. So here you have Ivo sitting there. He sees someone brings Rabbi Elazar Bar-Tzadok, and Rabbi Elazar Bar-Tzadok shakes it, doesn't make a bracha, and from this Ivo deduces that his Rebbe holds that Arava is a minag neviim outside of the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore no bracha. Ivo v'chizkia b'nei barte derav, aisu Arava l'kamei derav. So I'll say Ivo and Chizkia, who were the sons of the daughter of Rav, so they were Rav's grandsons, brought an Arava to the Zeda. They brought an Arava to their grandfather Rav. What happened? Chavit v'lo beirach. So Rav took the Arava, he shook the Arava, and he did not make a bracha. Kasavar minag neviimu. So they understood. And then they understood that based on their grandfather's behavior, that Rav held that what? That Arava outside of the base of the Shavosai is what? Is simply a minag neviim, and therefore again, there's no bracha. And therefore there's no bracha. Amar Ivo, hava ka'imna kameid Rav Elazar Bar-Tzadok. Ivo said again, I was standing before Rav Elazar Bar-Tzadok. Asula Kamei Rav Elazar, this is another story now. So just you should know, this is halacha l'maaseh for us. That's why on Hoshana Rabbah, when we take the Arava bundle, for us, what we do today is a minag neviim. That's why, again, if you don't do it, you're not in violation of anything. And that's why, in fact, we don't what? We don't make a bracha on this practice. Because this practice is simply a minag. It was a practice instituted by the neviim Anshei Knesset HaGedolah as a zecher l'mikdash, as a custom to remember that which was done. But no bracha. No bracha. So we'll say now a separate story. So again, Ivu is standing before his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar Bar-Tzadok. Okay, what happens? Asala kameh ahu gavra. There was a man who came before Rabbi Elazar Bar-Tzadok. And the man came with the following issue. Amarle, he said to Rabbi Elazar Bar-Tzadok, this is the man talking. Kiryasa isli, karmia isli, zesa isli. What happens? I own some villages. I will say, when you own the village, so the way that worked was the following. You own the village, and the inhabitants of that village worked for you. So you owned the fields of that village. And the mice, again, they were like sharecroppers. So what happens? So the man comes before Rabbi Elazar Bar-Tzadok. He says, listen, I own villages. And therefore my villages, I have vineyards. And I also have olive trees. V'asu b'nei kiryasa u'mekash kishin b'karmio. And literally, the people of the village come. They work in my vineyard. Literally, mekash kishin means when you would hoe a field. So they go ahead and they work. They work on the field. They take care of my fields. They hoe the field. B'karmio, the vineyards. V'ochlin b'zese. And what happens? And what do? They take the olives and the grapes, and they eat of the olives and the grapes. Look at Rashi. V'ochli zese, bischar chafiras hakramim, ve'inon mafkir l'aniyin. I will say, listen to this. Now understand, this was during the Shemitah year. So what he was saying essentially was the following. My workers come, and l'maisa, what they essentially do is, they take their wages from the crops themselves. I don't pay them. But they know that they could take their equivalent of crops from the olives and from the grapes. Now, by doing that, essentially what ends up happening is the fields essentially are not hefker, because obviously the workers are very guarded about who comes into the field, because they don't want too many paupers walking into the field and taking their stuff, because this is their parnasa. So he comes and he asks, Rabbi Elazar, Arich o lo Arich? We'll say, no, you have to have a lot of courage to ask a shayla like this. See, he says, is this a correct practice or not a correct practice? He's asking, what should I do? Right? Is this correct or not correct? So Rabbi Elazar Bar-Tzadok answers, lo arichava. It's not correct. You shouldn't do this. Look at Rashi. Amr li lo arich, lefi sha'ata porea pe'ulasa mipero shvi'is, v'atora amr li achla v'lo v'schora. Avala kish kushmut v'kilachamar. So Rabbi Elazar Bar-Tzadok said, it's not appropriate. Why? Because you're essentially paying them from what? You're paying them from Shemitah produce. And Shemitah produce is not supposed to be used for commercial purposes. Therefore, you're not permitted to pay them from Shemitah produce. So what happened? So he left. So the guy left. And apparently he left. Well, we'll say the story is not over. So he left. And Mepashtus, he left to tell his workers, stop doing it. I'm going to pay you. I'm gonna have to pay you. I'm gonna pay you a regular wage. Stop collecting the fruits as payment for your wages. Obviously, a worker is always permitted to eat from the field that he's working in, but Lamaisa, don't take your wages. So I'm gonna pay you a regular salary. So listen to this. Havakashavikle va'azul. So when this man left, Amar Rebbe Lazar Bar Tzadok turned to Ivo and he said, Amar, Kadu Havisi Dairi Ba'ara Hadam Memshan. And you know, I've lived in this place. Rebbe Lazar Bar Tzadok is talking about wherever he was living. I lived in this place for over 40 years. And what? Velo Chamisei Bar Inish Mahalach Ba'archon Ditoknin Kedain. And I've never met a man who is so honest, literally walks on a straight path like this man. Look at Rashi. Was just saying to Ivo, this man who just came in, he's so yasher. It's interesting that, you know, sometimes the greatest manifestation of one's yashros is in their business practices. Because lemaisa, again, that's where a person has the greatest taiva not to be yasher, because again, it's money and it's your parnasa. So literally, I never met a man who's so yasher. I will say, listen to this. Hadar va'asi, the guy came back, va'amrle, my me'avid. And then he said, what should I do? So it's like, now here's what's fascinating. So here's how the story played out. So first he comes to Rebbe Elazar Bar Tzadok and he says, you know, is this practice appropriate? Okay. Then he leaves and then he comes back and says, okay, you told me it's not appropriate. Now, what should I do? So the Marsha asks, I don't understand, why did he leave before asking what to do? The Marsha says something amazing, because he realized now that his workers are doing something inappropriate. The first thing he wanted to do was what? Stop them. That's what Rebbe Elazar Bar Tzadok was saying was so yasher. I mean, the guy could have waited 5 more minutes and asked, okay, I know that I shouldn't do A, tell me what I should do. But he was so yasher that he wanted to put a stop to the erroneous, to inappropriate practice immediately. So he left to go tell his workers, cease and desist, stop doing that. And then he comes back to Rebbe Elazar Bar Tzadok and says, what? And says, what? Okay, now tell me what to do. That's what Rebbe Elazar Bar Tzadok was saying. What a yasher person. That he doesn't want to tolerate for a moment something wrong happening within his field. So he says, "Nu, come back. Tell me, what should I do?" After Zesa l'chashuchya, you have to go ahead and make your olives, which means make your olive trees, make your vineyard hefker for the aniyim. The same prityah l'kashkushay kramim, and pay a salary to those who are working in your field. So open up your fields to everyone, and you have to pay a regular salary to your workers. Vikash kushe mishar. So we'll say, 1 second. Now remember, the story is that he has all these people working his fields on Shemitah. They're hoeing the dirt. So again, is that permitted? Is it Shemitah? You're not permitted to work. Forget about paying the salary. You're not permitted to work the land on Shemitah. So how can they be hoeing the field? V'hatanya v'ashmiyas tishmeteno nitashto. But the pasuk says on the 7th year, You must go ahead and leave the land and forsake it. Tishmiteno, what does it mean you have to leave it alone? Milakashkish, you can't hoe the field. Unitashta, you have to forsake it. Milasakil, to remove stones. So you're not permitted to work land on Shemitah. So forget about just the paying of the wages. Is there not an issue with the fact that this guy had people working the field on Shemitah? No. Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Trekish Kushihavu. There are two types of hoeing. Chad stume pili, one is covering cracks with dirt. V'chad avrure ilone, and one literally is poking holes. I guess what we call it today. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says avrure ilone kimo ubara osam bechavrosam linkov ha'afar shalash rashim ulazizo shi rach v'tichuach va'ilan mashpiach. So we'll say two types of hoeing. One type of hoeing is to cover in cracks in the dirt and cracks in the roots. You have to do that because if you don't cover in the cracks, then what's going to happen? The roots dry out. If the roots dry out, the tree dies. I will say, on Shemitah, you are permitted to do certain things to save a loss. So that type of hoeing is permitted. The second type of hoeing, which is what? Which is where you go ahead and you loosen up the soil around the edge of the tree. I guess like almost like aerating the soil a little bit. That's usher. That you can't do because that's just simply to be mashbiach, that's to better the trees. So you could hoe in order to go ahead and save from the loss, but you can't hoe in order to go ahead and benefit the trees. Okay, so Gemara says the following: Avuri ilani aser. So again, poking, loosening the soil around the tree to, is aser, but sume pili shari. But to go ahead and fill in the crack, the cracks on the roots, that's going to be okay. Amar Ivu, b'shem mishum Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. We'll see another halacha. Ivu standing Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. A person should not travel more than three parsos before on Erev Shabbos. I will say three parsos that the Shulchan Aruch brings down is essentially half a day journey. So a person shouldn't walk more than a half a day journey. Shouldn't travel more than half a day journey on Erev Shabbos. We're going to pick up over here tomorrow. No one rushes. We'll pick up with this sugya right over here tomorrow.